Ramsey TV.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to... My voice is going bad already. I got to drink my kefir already. This is cultured whole milk. Hang on a second. I'm starting the show and my voice is already shot, but I got the solution, I think. Kefir. Cultured whole milk. Here we go. Do I have a milk mustache? No. That stuff's not bad. It's kind of like drinking yogurt. It's got a lot of probiotics, whatever that is, just little creatures, little cultures that go in there and eat up the bad stuff in your stomach. All right, this is Martin Zender. Listen to that full and rich and kefired voice here today. I'm going to talk about a topic that I like. It's very important, but you will know when you hear the title of it, as you've already seen the title, you're probably scratching your head wondering, what the heck? I love those kinds of titles. I'm going to talk about the pigtail principle. The pigtail principle. And it's vitally important for you to understand what the pigtail principle is, and you will, and to avoid it, because if you are under the influence, or if you use the pigtail principle, you will go far astray in interpreting scripture. And as this quote on the front of my scriptures says, quote by Francis Bacon, you will beget hopes and beliefs of strange and impossible shapes. I'll read the whole quote here. Whosoever shall entertain high and vaporous imaginations instead of a laborious and sober inquiry into truth shall beget hopes and beliefs of strange and impossible shapes. Again, that's Francis Bacon. And it's quite in vogue, it always has been, to use one's imagination, and especially high and vaporous imaginations. People like to interpret scripture with their own imaginations. This is often called spiritualizing the Word of God. Instead of taking it literally, allowing for figures of speech, I must always say that. Instead of taking it literally, hardly these type of spiritualizer type people, they don't hardly take anything literally. And so they have their own creative ideas of what God means. You see, we can't believe what God says. Here's what he means. Here's what he meant to say. And so anyone who goes off on these tangents, emotional tangents, really, it's pseudo-spirituality, they will beget hopes and dreams and beliefs of strange and impossible shapes. The pigtail principle is part of the problem. But before I get to the pigtail principle, I have to tell you, of course, you saw, I hope, that I released video number 8 from the Missouri conference. This is my talk on sex. So I will link that video to you, or I will link you to it. I'll do one of the two. I might do both. We'll see underneath here. So click on that, and you're going to learn a lot about the power of sexuality, why it's there, why God wants it there, what it's a parable of. And I never heard this teaching anywhere else. So I wrote 2 books on the topic, one mainly on the parable of sexual attraction. And that's, as you know, maybe you don't know, but there is a link to it in the video if you haven't seen it. Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. So I want to make sure you're aware that that video is out there. Get your significant other, gather your loved one, and pop some popcorn, sit on the couch, and get the bedroom warmed up, because you're going to love this show, this presentation I made in Missouri. The lighting is great. It's an aphrodisiac, this show is. People were racing to get out after my presentation. It was not because they didn't like it, it's because, anyway, I told you the other day I had a rant. I actually have 3 rants. I'm just going to give them one at a time. One today, one tomorrow, one the next day. I saw a guy when I was running with, this is kind of related actually to the sexual talk. He had a t-shirt that says, "I love my wife." Let me repeat that. I saw a man with a t-shirt along the beach yesterday while I was running. I was on business, not pleasure. I was running. Saw this guy. I love my wife. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh, isn't that nice? It's so wonderful. Look, he loves his wife. All right, well, I'm going to explain to you why this t-shirt is wrong on so many levels. So many levels. This is just a rant. I'm going to get through this quickly. Number one, who cares? Who cares? It's like having a t-shirt that says, I love my children. So you love your... It's like, of course, you're supposed to love your children. What's the big accomplishment? Like Jesus said, even those of the nations love those who love them. They love their loved ones. They love their families. So you love your wife. What I would have been impressed to see is a t-shirt saying, I love my ex-wife. That would have been interesting. I love my ex-wife. And then maybe in parentheses underneath, but I don't forgive her. I love my ex-wife in parentheses, but I don't forgive her. That'd be cool. Or again, I've always wanted to see somebody wearing a t-shirt. I love my enemies. I love those who hate me. I love my persecutors. Now that's an interesting t-shirt. That's saying something. I love my wife. I guarantee you one thing about this guy. Is it in the recent past, in the not too distant past, this guy has had either abused his wife or he committed adultery on his wife. He treated his wife horribly in some way, and he was apprehended by a Christian group, rightly so, because nobody should abuse or commit adultery on their wives. No, I don't recommend it at all. In fact, I discourage it at every turn. But so the Christians must have got hold of this guy, and they made him affirm that he loves his wife. It's almost like, say it, look in the mirror 10 times a day, Charlie, and say, I love my wife, I love my wife, I love my wife. This t-shirt is this guy doing penance. He's doing penance. For what? He's either a pervert or a criminal, possibly a criminal. And so this t-shirt is an affirmation to himself. He's trying to convince himself of it. I love my wife, I love my wife. I guarantee you that's the situation. My recommendation to you is just love your wife, love your kids, love your dog, love your enemy. Love everybody if you can, and just don't brag about it, for God's sake. Unless you're doing something really crazy and epic, like loving your enemies, that I can stand you bragging about that, because, wow, it's amazing. You don't often see that in the human race. So there you go. That's that rant. Now to the pigtail principle. Let me put it in a nutshell. The pigtail principle comes from... a little piece that my friend Dan Sheridan wrote. A terrible piece. Now, you know, Dan is my friend. We did some great work in the past, some great work in the Word of God. We were on the radio in Indianapolis. We were on the radio in Chicago. We traveled together many places doing conferences, but somehow Dan, who was a great champion of the sovereignty of God, suddenly went off the track, and now last I heard, he believes in something called open theism, which is the future is open. God doesn't even know what's going to happen next. Yeah, I repeat, God doesn't even know what's going to happen next. God is trying to find things out with his own creation, waiting to see what's going to happen. And then hopefully, you know, and then he'll move the chess pieces. He'll put like, he'll build the rat maze. When he sees what you're going to do, he goes, oh, I better build another wall over here to make him go to the left. Then he forces them to go to the left. And then, they come to an intersection, and God doesn't know what they're going to do. Well, I don't know what they're going to do because I don't plan anything ahead of time. Everything's open. Because, you see, if it's not open, then God plans everything ahead of time. But if he does plan everything ahead of time, then free will is impossible. But now, my friend, Dan believes in free will, which is un-freaking-leavable. But anyway, he also abandoned the snatching away. I don't even know if he thinks Paul has a special gospel anymore. I don't think he does. I think it's all in one thing, which is crazy. I can't believe it. I haven't even wrapped my head around it. This has been ongoing for several years. I'm still friends with him. I don't talk to him that often, but I mean, what do we have in common anymore in the scriptures? Not a hell of a lot. The salvation of all. But he doesn't believe in the snatching away anymore. And the reason is because of the pigtail principle. I'm going to read you an excerpt of what he wrote, and I'm going to tell you why I call this principle the pigtail principle, and I want you to avoid it. Avoid it like the Black Death. I wrote about this. If you want to preempt my talk here, you can look at it for yourself. It's in the ZWTF. I'll go ahead and link to it. I wrote this on Sunday, October 11th, 2015. It's called The Snare of the Soul. Yes, The Snare of the Soul. The emotions. If you let your emotions rule you when you're going into the scriptures to try to see what God is saying, then you will go off into these strange and vain and impossible scriptural lies, basically. You will screw yourself thinking that God is an emotional mess like you are. You might be an emotional mess. Okay, fair enough. But God is not. I'm not saying God is not careful about your emotions. He understands them. But God is not a hot emotional mess. And he doesn't do things emotionally. But my friend Dan thinks he does. The last I heard, he hasn't recanted this crazy thing that he wrote, The Snare of the Soul. I will link that. I will link you to ZWTF Volume 4, Issue 37. So the pigtail principle, in a nutshell, is this. I'll spend a couple of days talking about this because it's so important. And you have to get to my other rants. The pigtail principle. It's a long newsletter. I'm warning you that. It's a long newsletter. I'm scrolling down. I'm on page 12. Finally got to it. The pigtail principle is an erroneous principle, the name of which I have coined, thanks to Dan's writing, which I will share with you. This is how I put it. The pigtail principle states that God will not judge, leave behind, or kill anything that is cute, precious, or lovable. God will not judge, leave behind, or kill anything that is cute, precious, or lovable. That's the pigtail principle in a nutshell. It relates to my message yesterday, my show yesterday, does it not? I talked about why God killed the Amalekites. And my friend Dan here would say, well, God would never do that because certainly there were some cute people. There were some lovable people. God said kill the children too. Some of them probably had pigtails, which is the ultimate cute, according to my friend here. Going to get to that. Sentimentality, now, as I have this to say to you, sentimentality is fine until it colors our vision so that we can no longer correctly read the plainest statements of Scripture. Some people out there, I know, I'm sympathetic, super emotional. Super emotional, that's fine until you trick yourself, I don't want you to do this, into imagining that God cries over the same movies we do. I cry at this movie. The Notebook. We think God cries at the same movies? No, he doesn't cry at the same movies. That's a trick. The pigtail principle embraces, it's good, I mean, it's good as long as you don't bring it into interpreting the Bible. The pigtail principle embraces family life, loves wives. I'm just like that guy. I love my wife. See? I love my wife. I love my wife. Say it 10 times, Charlie. Look in the mirror. Tell yourself you love your wife, Charlie. Right? Right? You love your wife. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. The pigtail principle embraces family life, loves wives, pats little girls on the head, and hugs trees. It hugs trees, too. It loves the earth. The pigtail principle also loves the earth. It's all well and good, but it does so in a manner that compromises divine revelation. That is, when you take it into divine revelation. Let God be true, though every man or every woman an emotional basket case. Let God be true. So here's what Dan Sheridan wrote. And this is public. That's why I mention it. It's public. So my friend no longer believes in the snatching away of the body of Christ. Why? I'll let him tell you. And this is a quote from Dan. I read this, I think, on his website or somebody sent it to me. It's not a private conversation. It's public. It was public. That's why I'm commenting on it. I do not comment on private emails, on things you tell me face-to-face. I don't broadcast those things. If you write me a nice letter, I'll ask you your permission that if I can read it and share it with the saints. But I only comment and critique public writings or public addresses. Quote, there will not be an event where millions of people suddenly disappear while planes crash, cars crash, and children and babies are left behind because their parents are raptured to heaven. The concept of being left behind is foreign to Scripture. Boy, do I have a lot to say on that. A lot to say on that. He's assuming that the snatching away will be an event likened unto the Christian Hollywood version called the Rapture, where millions of people go away. I've got a lot to say on that. Comment almost on every word of that. But let me go to his next statement. I'm just going to read these statements because I need to get to the pigtail part before this show ends. My friend Dan Sheridan goes on, the godly parents get to go to heaven while their babies are left behind in cribs to die in car crashes and abandoned in numerous ways. That's the blessed hope of orthodoxy. Well, going to heaven, Dan, is also the blessed hope of the body of Christ. Just because Christianity also thinks that they're involved in this event that will take place, according to our Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17, but what does he know? Just because the Christians make a three-ring circus out of it and a Hollywood movie out of it, and they think that it's going to involve millions because they think that nominal Christians are in the body of Christ. If you have a metal fish applique on your car, you're in the body of Christ. If you say, Our Father, Hail Mary, 10 times, you're in the body of Christ. We know that's not true. Here he goes again. Imagine your three-year-old little girl in a dress with pigtails, wandering the neighborhood, looking for mommy and daddy. But it's okay, because you're in heaven. But it's okay, because you're in heaven. I cannot believe my friend Dan wrote this. This is oozing with emotional sentimentality. It is oozing, it is bleeding on the page. It's crying at the movie, this terrible scenario. And I'll make one comment on the first paragraph just to officially make one comment, and then tomorrow I'm going to lay into this. I'm going to flay it alive, and you're going to see why this is a terrible way to interpret Scripture with your own emotions. The concept of being left behind is foreign to Scripture? Really? The concept of people being left behind is foreign to Scripture. Yesterday, I told you that every day on this earth, 186,000 people die. Assuming that every person has a family of at least three people, there's many more. You can triple this to account for their extended families, or even their coworkers they're leaving behind. People who die, they leave behind their coworkers, do they not? They leave behind their mailman as well as their family members. But taking only three people for every person that dies in a day in this world, which is 186,000 people, there are 558,000 people left behind every day by someone who dies. But our friend Dan says the concept, just the very concept of being left behind is foreign to Scripture. Is it? Is it foreign to life? Is it foreign to the Christ who holds the keys of death? I would think that being snatched away to heaven and leaving people behind that way probably may be far more glorious than dying and leaving people behind. And as if God would be responsible for one and not the other. God would never take away a saint, a member of the body of Christ, because they would leave little children and girls with pigtails and little dresses. Oh my God, the pigtails and little dresses. I didn't know it was that serious a way. I'm going to comment on that tomorrow. Dan, God leaves them behind every single day. Hundreds of thousands of little girls are left behind every day by death. Who's responsible for death? Well, you probably don't believe God's responsible for it anymore. Maybe you believe now death is an accident. Maybe you actually believe that God had planned for a perfect universe, but Adam screwed it up By heeding to the voice of his wife, who heeded to the voice of Satan, they partook of the forbidden fruit, and death entered into the world. Was that an accident? Now, Dan, was that part of the open? That's, if you believe in open theism, then it was. It was something that God had to recover from. God had to come up with a plan B concerning. Of course, this is all absurd, ladies and gentlemen. God is always on plan A. God is not an emotional wreck. He doesn't cry at the same movies we do. Doesn't mean he's not love. He is. He's love on steroids. Love is tough. Love has to take care of certain things. Death must be the prerequisite for resurrection, for life. It must be. Death is a hard thing. Parents are separated from their children every day. What's that? I can't. The concept of being left behind is foreign to scripture. Oh, Dan, come back. Come back. Come back to us.